All right, thanks. I have a couple more questions. I'm trying to summarize a few here that are on the embedded software space. So this one reads, I'm an embedded software developer in a company that sells software to telecom companies. The telecom companies have stringent security requirements. For example, they can only use approved software versions can be installed on an embedded device. I'm afraid that the requirements in the GPL V3 that instructions must be included with each device how to install other software versions won't be accepted by our customers. What's your opinion about this, Professor Moglen?
We believe that some network operators acting within some local regulatory schemes will prefer to avoid GPL software in future as they prefer to avoid GPL software now. We believe that other manufacturers will elect to segregate address spaces within their phones so that the only portions of the phone address space that can be reflashed are the parts that contain GPL software that the manufacturer has elected to use. And those will be for such user interface functions as are non-critical to the performance of the phone's radio side. We believe that there are still other manufacturers who will jump at the opportunity to produce open devices and to engage in constructive dialogue with the regulators about how open devices can and should be integrated into the commercial infrastructure. So let's be clear about the timescales. Over the next couple of years, the penetration of Linux phones in the cell phone market is going to explode, but it will do so under controlled terms. Within 20 years, it is our belief that cell phones will have disappeared, that owned spectrum held by cell phone network operators will have disappeared, that bandwidth will belong to people as a right, not as a consequence of their ability to pay, and that the devices which people use for interpersonal connection in daily life will be largely deregulated, largely uncontrolled, freely modifiable, and that unless that happens, vast quantities of meaningful economic innovation in the 21st century would be strangled in the cradle. We have no love for the particulars of current telecommunications regulation doctrine, which we think is primarily for the benefit of incumbents. But the challenge that we are posing to the regulation is long-term. In the short term, it will be possible for people to make cheap, partially modifiable devices, which will stay on the right side of the regulators and which will draw the user community to the devices. Ask yourself this question. Can Mr. Steve Jobs make an iPhone without GPL software? On your answer to that question, much depends.
All right, we still have a few questions, so if you have time, I'll continue to ask them.
Surely, it's my pleasure.
If we develop a Linux driver which runs in kernel space, does it need to be open source?
This is a question which depends upon the licensing policy of the developers of the Linux kernel, who have a policy which seems to go beyond that of GPL. If the license on the Linux kernel were pure GPL and no other exception had been given, the answer would be yes. Any driver meant to be integrated with the kernel would have to be not just open-sourced, but licensed under GPL. The kernel developers, however, have had in place for years an informal and unwritten exception, apparently discretionary at its margins, which has permitted the combination with the kernel of non-GPL drivers. The kernel developers have evidently preferred what I think we might call constructive obscurity with respect to the full dimensions of their exception. Mr. Torvalds has sometimes said that it was limited by the derivative works rule in U.S. copyright law. He has sometimes said that it permitted any binary module which was not in bad taste. He has sometimes said that it permitted only the combination of modules which were in existence independent of the Linux kernel, which, for example, implemented file systems available in pre-Linux Unixes. And the kernel developers have also put a mechanism technically into the kernel capable of detecting the difference between GPL'd and non-GPL'd drivers. So my conclusion, I have never been the lawyer for the Linux kernel, and I am not responsible for the development or the implementation of this policy, but my understanding of the situation historically is that the kernel developers have chosen neither to forbid binary-only drivers to the kernel, nor have they chosen to endorse them. Some entities, such as Novell, have now announced that they will not support binary-only drivers connected to the kernel because of maintainability concerns. Some Linux distributions, such as Ubuntu, carefully differentiate between binary and free software drivers and tell the user at install time that binary drivers are disfavored, but nonetheless allow users to install binary drivers where they feel that it's important to attain hardware support, which can only be attained through the use of binary drivers. I will say for myself that I don't understand anybody's continuing to make and distribute binary drivers for the Linux kernel. It seems to me fundamentally a bad idea economically and technically at this point. There is so much development resource out there in the world that will work on and improve and maintain your drivers for free, that it is hard to conceive of a trade secret or other commercial advantage which outweighs the immense cost saving of community support. But there are still enterprises which believe that the secret of their hardware is more important than the free long-term maintainability of their software. And at the end, we'll see whether or not they were right.
All right, thanks. I'm going to switch back to devices now. And
yes.
This is a note. We had a note from the audience that somebody is works for a company that makes video routers as opposed to cell phones. So if that changes any of the answers, I just wanted to let you know that. So the next question is, if a consumer were to modify a device with GPL3 code, would there be any violation of the license if the manufacturer were to notify the consumer that they may no longer play DRM content?
No. If the way that the device works is that it permits the manufacturer to inspect whether changes have occurred in the software stack, and if it chooses to attempt, on the basis of what it knows about the status of the stack, not to present DRM content over a network, that may be in compliance with the license, which says that network services may be denied to a modified device if the device violates the rules of the network. But we're going to have, over the course of the next couple of years, a slow and careful opportunity to engage in dialogue among manufacturers and users with respect to where those lines are actually drawn, fact by fact. Manufacturers will have an equivalent opportunity now to experience the other alternative, which is the Windows Vista alternative, the alternative of computers extensively booby-trapped, so that every time a kid hacks a display device in Thailand, equipment stops working in Spitsbergen. We believe that Microsoft Vista is such an excellent example of why we are right and devices that are booby-trapped against their users are bad devices, that we think the market will have a clear opportunity to rule. And within a very short period of time, Microsoft will be proven to have made the mistake of its life, and we will have been proven to be where consumers actually want the world to go, in the direction of devices which are respectful of the needs of their owners. We think manufacturers will conclude that getting right with customers is more important than getting right with Disney. But Disney, of course, will do everything it can to prevent manufacturers from doing what their customers want.
So this next question is about internal distribution. Do GPL version 3 definitions of propagate or convey intend to obligate an enterprise to provide source code or patent license to third parties solely based upon modification and distribution of open source software internally within the enterprise?
No. Internal modification and use is a right, which from the point of view of the foundation has to be protected as firmly as any other right. You have a right to modify software and to use it without showing it to anybody. That's true under GPL2, and it's true under GPL3. You have no obligation ever to give source code to the general public. You only have an obligation to give source code to those to whom you give binaries. If you maintain privately trade secret modified versions of GPL software inside your enterprise, or if you are a government agency working within a structure of classification rules, or in other respects exist within a legal regime which regards a particular transfer as not a distribution under copyright law, then what you are engaged in is private modification, which the GPL believes you have rights to do and right to be protected in.
All right, so I'm going to take one last question here. If we modify any open source component, the modifications are to be distributed under GPL license. Does it mean that we must submit the modified component to open source community, even if the modifications are not generic and very proprietary changes to the open source component?
Unless you are distributing an executable form of the program you have modified to persons outside your organization, you've no obligation to distribute source code to anybody. If you are making proprietary modifications for your own use, you have no obligations to anyone. If you are making proprietary modifications to GPL works and distributing those works to others, then they aren't proprietary modifications, and you owe to the people who receive the executable the same thing you got, a right to study, modify, and share.
Thank you very much, Professor Moglen. That concludes our webinar for today. We will be posting the recorded version of the webinar and the slides on the openlogic.com website within the next 24 hours. Thank you for joining us today. Oh, also, I'm sorry, we will be sending out a survey later today or tomorrow, and we would like to ask you to please participate in the survey. It's regarding the GPL version 3, and we will share the results of the survey with anyone who does choose to participate.
We're going to quiz you on what you learned today.
Thank you.
Thank you.